White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 610.
You're listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
The Auburn crowd can smell it. They can taste it. They can almost see Minneapolis.
I'm not even hungry and I can taste it.
The Auburn Tigers, for the first time ever, are going to the Final Four.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment and, of course, by people like you. The Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family, our very own Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, we've got the same things to talk about this week that we did last week, but just little movement, little few things have happened to kind of move them along. So I believe
the plot has thickened.
It's thickened and thinned at the same time in some ways. So we have things like the basketball team lost a game, but then it won a big game, but then they dropped to number two in the polls, which is kind of what we expected, but that, who cares? Doesn't matter at all. Doesn't make a, as long as we're in the top four, you know, I think we're probably okay for a number one seed right now. Which is not as bizarre as it sounds, because we were number one seed with Cliff Ellis's team in like 99, I believe, the year we
it's true.
Went to the Sweet 16 with Cliff. So then we got the whole, hopefully our last stopover with the Harsin saga. I don't have a whole lot of desire to spend a lot of time on that other than just whatever we need to wrap up, right? I mean, yeah. So where do we want to start? I guess we'll give warning before we get into football discussion.
We will.
Okay.
We'll give the spoiler warning before we move over to football. I think we need to start with, we lost a basketball game, and I want to know, how did that feel?
Well, and you know,
it was a new thing.
Yeah, kind of was new. First time since the before Thanksgiving. They started that run on Thanksgiving Day in the what we call it, the Big Daddy Mowers. I keep calling it something different every time. The big boy mowers,
Battle for Atlantis.
It sounds like the next Justice League movie, whatever it is. I don't know. All I know is that Jason, what's his
Momoa.
Name? Momoa is probably going to be in it. That's all I know. But yeah, and you know, we're talking about basketball because maybe you guys heard the new opening I just did. That's our opening just for the immediate. I don't know how long we'll leave that there. Maybe until the end of basketball season. That's the happy place right now, right? That is our happy place. So they lost to Arkansas, yeah. Well, I think the first thing we have to note about that game, two things. One, we had no starting point guard, and that goes a long way. And we all learned just how far that went and how much of a difference it made. I don't think anybody knew coming in. I mean, we all knew that. Let's put it this way. Wendell Green is very flashy, and Zepp is not super flashy. But I think what we all learned in the last week is that you don't have to be super flashy to be a critically important component of this team.
Absolutely. And a lot of the things that Zepp does, setting up the team on offense and playing great defense on the ball, are, you know, not always easy to see. Pick up. They're not as flashy as you said, but they contribute to the team being successful. And when they're not there, you notice their absence.
For sure, for sure. And on top of that, we were playing at Arkansas. They're like one of their biggest crowds ever. They were just like at 11 on the 1 to 10 scale of amped up to play the number one team. You know, it really is true. You get that target on your back, and everybody brings their A game. There's no doubt.
Absolutely. And so then Zepp was out and didn't play. KD was injured. He got hurt at the Georgia game. Remember, he hurt his wrist or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And so it really impacted him in this game. I think he was like 2 for 12 in the game, and was clearly not himself, and was benched for a lot of the game because he was not effective. Mm-hmm. So then you were without your starting backcourt. And then we had some challenges, foul trouble. Kessler fouled out in overtime. And I think that was the, you know, That was the problem. But with all that, mm-hmm. we still had a shot to win the game at the end of regulation.
We still took them to overtime in their own house with everything that they – I mean, because they came out like a house of fire. When that mm-hmm. game started, I'm like, oh, they're – You know, it reminded me of the Georgia football game 2 years ago when they just came out and just ran the ball right at us and ran over us for 10 yards yep. every play. I'm like, Arkansas is like, they got the bit between their teeth and they're ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
So they really did. And it was shocking to me and then surprising that we were able to get back in it. This is an observation before I forget, talking about Wendell. We love Wendell. We all love Wendell. But I've started to notice the last three or four games, and I want to know if you've noticed this too. I worry that Wendell doesn't protect the ball when he's dribbling as well as he could. Now, I think that earlier in the season when we were doing really well, he wasn't having to be the assist man, the ball control guy as much as he has been the last week or two. And this puts him in it kind of exposes a little bit his ball handling because, you know, they don't really steal it from Zepp. But Wendell dribbles the ball so far away from his body, you know, it's like he's reaching all as far out as his arm will go and bouncing it out there, and people just take it away from him or dive at him and disrupt him, and that concerns me.
Sure, I mean it's a valid concern and something he needs to work on, and it does contribute, like you said, to the team having more turnovers. I think that's a real. It happened some in the Kentucky game too. So I think it's something he's got to work on. And I think it's just again another piece of why Zepp is valuable because he can control the ball like that and not have that worry, not have the other team doing that.
They both have their strengths, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why you need both of them.
Yes, we have to have both of them playing at their best and being healthy for this team to be what it can be.
And. Sometimes they count. Is it KD that sometimes gets counted as a third point guard? Because I don't really see him as a point guard. I see him as more as like the only remotely shooting guard on the whole team.
No, but he can be if he has to, right? I mean, they could bring in a bigger point guard. They could play Leo Berman or somebody at shooting guard, and KD could bring it up if he had to and set up the offense. But it's not his normal thing. He'd rather be attacking.
Yeah, right? they actually used Flanagan a little bit as a backup point guard when Zepp was hurt. Yeah, hiccups, excuse me. Which wasn't great. I mean, we don't need Flanagan. No. Just when he's coming back, trying to get back in the groove of his own position, suddenly they're asking him to play. It gave me horrible flashbacks of last season when we were just like getting people out of the stands to play point guard, you know, until we could get our good point guard in finally.
Yeah, and last year was too much to ask Flanagan to do that. He really did everything. It was too much.
But yeah, yeah.
The other thing in the Arkansas game we got to mention is just the free throw shooting.
Oh, gosh.
It was a huge difference.
It was a difference.
They made them, and we did not. It was that simple. If we make our free throws, we win regulation and get out of there.
Easily. Yeah, and it was players that – it's not like suddenly players that don't make free throws were the ones getting fouled. It was Jabari missed some. I think Kessler missed some. People that you can – you know, I think maybe Flanagan – it was players that are like very reliable usually just couldn't throw it in the ocean. And it's almost like it's contagious. When one person starts getting the yips, they all start overthinking it, I think, and getting the yips.
Well, and I think it was a close game where we weren't shooting the ball well. And so free throws were particularly important in that game.
Yeah.
And we have to shoot better on that. Like that was scary a little bit, that piece. But that was definitely, to me, the difference in the game. Was that Arkansas made their, a good percentage of their free throws that we did not.
We missed a lot
in the second half, especially.
Oh, right. You know what you have to do when that starts happening, though, and it starts getting contagious? Hit to go get a chicken.
Spread its blood around the arena.
Do a voodoo, anti-hex spell.
I understand.
And if it's inconvenient, go get a bucket of KFC or some Chick-fil-A or some you can't say Raising Cane because that's too good. Raising Cane's is too good to waste on a hex. You got to get you some KFC or maybe some Chick-fil-A. I'm take it or leave it on those brands. And certainly not Guthrie's. And if you use Zaxby's, your curse actually gets worse. Hey!
Oh! Man, I hear dropping it on the chicken.
Oh!
Holy cow!
Yeah, holy chicken. So, but they... bust that slump, get out of that, and then we go to Texas A&M, and things were a little bit better.
Yeah, no, it was at home Saturday, And we turned it around and played much better. And the biggest thing was we had Zep back.
Yes.
And we just absolutely throttled them defensively. And it was as
they were stuck
good
at
a defensive performance as Auburn has played.
They were stuck at seven for like half an hour. It was so fun. And then they got to nine, and they got stuck at nine for a very long time. That was incredible.
It was absolute domination by Auburn's defense in that game. Did not allow them to get good looks. Only let them have one shot most of the time. Really shut them down around the basket.
Was it – I tweeted about this the other day, a game kind of like that. I was – In research for something, I found where Kentucky played Georgetown in 84, I believe, in the tournament. And in the second half, Kentucky went 3 for 33.
Mm.
And, I mean, that's Patrick Ewing doing what Walker Kessler does, I think, right there.
There you go. That's I got a stat for you in this game, okay?
Yeah.
In the first half of the Texas A&M game, Texas A&M had 19 possessions when Walker Kessler was on the floor and scored 3 points.
Wow.
That's from Justin Ferguson. I'm giving him credit for that. That is absolute domination.
That is. Well, that's our team. I mean, basketball is like that. You play so many games, and you never know somebody's going to be sick or somebody's going to be hurt or whatever. Or the team's going to be up for it, and you're flat. You know, there's a handful of even the best teams, a handful of times, you know, something happens. I don't think anybody's gone undefeated in 40 years, probably. UNLV came close and lost in the finals to Duke. So that's just basketball, is that, you know, you have nights where nothing will go and you have nights where everything works. And when our team puts it together and it's not one of those bad nights, they can beat anybody.
Yeah, but again, I would say that's the Arkansas loss is an example of a really good team that had won 8 games in a row, like you said, that had the biggest home crowd ever, and they were all at 11, and we played a blah game. And if we make a couple of free throws the second half, or make a three pointer by Wendell with the buzzer, we win. And we're
still win. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we played probably one of our 5 worst games of the year, and still took them to overtime in the middle of all that. That's
right.
We still haven't lost a regulation game all year.
No.
And only one on American soil. That's so funny. Oh, boy.
And the other big thing about A&M was Flanagan finally had a good game we've been waiting for.
Yes.
Again, he's not where he needs to be, but 16 points, no turnovers.
That's
really big for him.
That's a good start. That's absolutely, because he's been so – we have no idea, but it seems almost like he overthinks it a little bit, Sutime. He's worried about messing up, it seems like, and he messes up. If he can just get back in that flow, you know. So you have a couple of things you wanted to talk about in detail for a second.
Yeah, just about the team as a whole. So, again, I talked a little bit about Walker Kessler. I gave the stat from the game, but I just want to give you a couple more stats to illustrate how great Walker Kessler is. So, I mean, the first is just that Auburn – is, you know, in terms of defensive field goal percentage, effective field goal percentage, that kind of stuff, against two-pointers, we're one of the best teams in the country. And you see it especially against teams, I would say, like A&M and like Alabama, that want to drive to the lane. If Kessler stays in the game against those teams, they're in real trouble. Because it's not just the shots that he blocks. It's the shots that he alters.
Mm-hmm.
Or he intimidates the other team into not trying, or they try to take a much lower percentage shot.
They come running into the lane and then just run right back out again. Like, hey, it's so funny.
Maybe
I was heading over there.
And so, again, this nationally, the national average, and again, this is the average, so there's like 340 teams, the average – it basically, for a layup, when you're right up against the rim, teams shoot 55%. So the great teams are shooting like 80%. Auburn is only allowing 45%.
Yeah.
The team's basically shooting a layup. And that's crazy, okay?
Yeah,
that's insane. And the other one is that Kessler leads the nation in block percentage. Basically, when he's on the floor, he blocks over 20% of two-point baskets, okay? No one has been over 20% statistically in 15 years.
Man.
So he really is at a different level. And I think it's time, like, we as Auburn fans, we need to be blowing the trumpet for him more. He should be, like, the defensive player of the year in the country, and he should be, like, the – all SEC player. He's all America kind of player. He is absolutely the most valuable player in this team. His defense, his rebounding, he's consistently good on offense. He's got better as the season went along at some of the drop step moves and stuff he's doing around the basket. And I think his presence, really solidifies the lineup. It allows everybody else to be even more, for KD and Zepp and those guys to be more aggressive on defense and really be in the other team's face. And that makes them more effective because, again, they know if their guy gets by him, Kessler's got it. And so I just think, he has been a real difference maker in an SEC play. He's picked up to another level. Auburn hasn't had a triple-double. Before Kessler, Auburn's had one triple-double ever.
Gabriel.
And that was against a small school in Alabama. Hmm. And with Kessler, they've had two against SEC teams this year.
Yeah, LSU and Alabama? No, I mean
A&M.
A&M, yeah. A&M.
So I just wanted to talk about Kessler for a minute because I think he's the best. It's the best season by a center in Auburn history, offensively and defensively. Wow. And I think he's just a real – his defense is so far at another level. He's going to obliterate the Auburn shot block records, but he's going to make a run at a lot of other records too. So.
How do North Carolina fans feel right now?
I think they feel really stupid because he didn't play there last year.
Yeah.
And he would have come off the bench for them this year, I think. And now they're just fools. So
I love it. Well, they were just trying to make him a conventional back-to-the-goal center, right, or something like that. And he wanted to be more dynamic, and he can.
And he can be, and you could see it. He could be more dynamic. But also, you see teams now try – when he's on defense, teams try to bring him away from the basket – and he recovers incredibly quickly and gets back. And on offense, you see sometimes he'll be near the foul line. He takes one step and it's a dunk.
That's it.
He can get away from people and make it happen. And I think, he is a great rebounder too. A lot of times he gets an offensive rebound and puts it back, or he gets an offensive rebound and dishes it out to somebody who's open and get them a shot. So I think all that stuff makes him really valuable. So.
Here's the thing. Here is the key for him. There's really just one thing that has to happen, and that is that the referees don't call everything a foul. That's the difference between him having a dominant game and fouling out and having a crappy game is how they're calling fouls.
Amen. And it's also you're going to see teams continue to go straight at him. They want to get multiple fouls on him in the opening minutes of the game. They're going to go at him, try to get fouls. And if he gets a couple of quick fouls, the game can really turn out differently. We've seen it. So I think that is a big thing that you just said, how referees are calling the game. But I think he's gotten a little bit better about being careful about not fouling when they're going right at him early. But I think we're going to continue to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. So what about three-point shooting? Yeah. No, I was just setting you up. Three-point shooting. Yeah.
This team, in some ways, is the opposite of the Final Four team.
Yeah.
They're great near the basket. Yeah. They're great on defense. And this is not a good three-point shooting team, period. And they've kind of gotten worse the last month. I think it's a little bit of a slump, right? But right now, it's bad, okay? We are 294th.
Wow.
In three-point shooting in the country. And our last three games, we're shooting 20%.
Mm.
Okay? And for the season, we're shooting 31%.
Going down.
The SEC, that's 10th, right? So for the season. Mm. Now, again, the last month, we've been 25%, which would, the worst team in the SEC is Missouri, and they're shooting 28% for the season.
Mm.
Because here's the other interesting thing. We have attempted the third most three-pointers in the SEC.
That's what we do. Yeah, yeah.
Now, again, Alabama's attempted 100, almost 100 more than we have, but we're, third and not that far behind second. So some of the teams that shoot really well from three-pointers don't take near as many as we do. Some of that is, because we're so good at the two-point game, we're so good inside that we get a lot of open looks. And in the last few weeks, we have not been hitting them. I think it's a real danger there if we were really cold like this against a really good team that could lock down the inside a little bit. We'd have to make some three-pointers to win. And right now, I don't think we could do that. But I think it's not a fatal flaw because I think it's what's happening right now is a little bit of a slump from the outside, and I think we're going to work our way through it. By the end of the season, I think we'll be back, you know, closer to average, and then we'll be fine. If we're shooting in the, you know, 32% from three, we'll be fine. That's plenty good enough with the rest of our offense.
So Jabari can do it. I was going to note, so you're talking about Walker Kessler a minute ago, he knocked down, I think, two against Arkansas, but we don't want him to have to be trying them, but I like that he knocked down two. But I mean, beyond Jabari, I mean, I know Wendell occasionally hits one from the center court stripe. Who else do you want on this team shooting the three? I mean, who do we have that's like a really dependable? There's no Bryce Brown, obviously, but who do you want shooting the three on this team other than Jabari?
Zepp is not terrible.
He doesn't shoot. He's
attempted a lot fewer, right? But he's not terrible. He's attempted 52, and for comparison, Wendell's attempted 137.
Oh, geez, yeah.
But percentage-wise, he's a hair ahead of Wendell in terms of shooting percentage, and then KD's a hair behind him. I think they're all three right around 31, 32%. So it's not good, but it's not terrible. Again, Jabari Smith's fourth in the SEC. He's shooting 39%.
There you go.
He should probably shoot more.
Yeah, but when he starts missing, then everything kind of goes wrong because he was missing against Arkansas. So.
But then at the end,
oh yeah,
at the very end of the game when the clock was running down, boom, two three-pointers, just like that.
Absolutely. So, well, it's things to worry about, things to keep an eye on. Not much we can do about it though. We got Vanderbilt coming up home Wednesday at 8 Central, 9 Eastern on the SEC Network. So that's going to be one of those late games that Mira complains about because she can't stay up late enough to see the end of it. And then Florida Saturday at 1-2 Eastern on ESPN. That should be interesting. At Florida, that's always a snake pit to play for us to play basketball at. So what do you make of those two real quick? Vanderbilt, Florida. I mean, obviously at Florida's, it's not a guaranteed loss, but it's a challenge.
It's a much tougher game. Again, they're not great, but they're good. And it's going to be a tough place to play. We're going to have to be healthy and prepared to walk in there and play, a full 40-minute game. They're not going to roll over. They're going to keep coming. And we played them at home earlier in the season. It was a good game. It was a back-and-forth game. And we won comfortably at the end, but it was tough until then. Vanderbilt is not great. They have one great player. It's Scottie Pippen's son is on that team, and he's a really good player. But the rest of the team's not great. And I hate playing at their stupid arena. It's so weird. But
the Memorial Gymnasium. So, the other Pippen brother plays for SIU or SIUE up here. I've actually seen him play in person. There are multiple Pippens running. You know, I'm not worried when we play Pippen though, because if you take him out of the game, Mary and Frodo and Sam ain't gonna beat you. I worry a little bit about Gandalf. He's got the outside range. You know,
he's got the reach.
You cannot pass on him. You cannot pass on Gandalf. You shall not pass on Gandalf, man. But the rest of them, you can wave a potato under Sam's nose. He's distracted. You can drive and lay it in. No problem. It's easy. Easy peasy.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's a little update. Inside scouting information I have direct from Middle Earth. So
I think we want to wrap up the basketball section this evening with the special song.
Yes. What is it?
So you've heard us talk about the peacock phenomenon that Ryan Starrett started on the College of Magnolia website. Yep. And he does an excellent job. He got to be the celebrity letter on Saturday, so I was very happy for him. And so in honor of that song, from the creator of We've Got Jared, there is a new song.
Yes.
The Peacock Song by Son of Crow. And we've had him on the podcast before to talk about We Got Jared. I got his permission to play this song in the podcast. So this is the Peacock Song by Son of Crow.
Jabari is gonna shoot the J and it's an automatic two. Wendell's got the green light all the way from the locker room. And I don't believe that there's another coach as good as Bruce right now. And Dylan, the Jungle's own king, gets his rocket when he screams and shouts. And Jasper leaves it on the floor, you know Flan doesn't play around. And I don't believe that there's another coach as good as Bruce right now. And when in doubt, we throw it to Jabari. And Walker Kessler blocks your shot, you're sorry. Katie Johnson really wants to steal the ball from you and then throw it down. Hey baby, we're gonna be caught like crazy. Cause after all, it's Auburn basketball. Chris Moore always comes to play, you know Leo is ready to shoot. Devin flies through the air, you can't stop him on the alley-oop. And I don't believe that there's another coach as good as Bruce right now. And when in doubt, we throw it to Jabari. And Walker Kessler blocked the shot, you're sorry. And Katie Johnson really wants to steal the ball from you and then throw it down. Hey baby, we're gonna peacock like crazy. Cause after all, Auburn basketball. So baby, we're gonna peacock like crazy. Cause after all, it's Auburn basketball. So baby, we're gonna peacock like crazy. We're gonna peacock like crazy. We're gonna peacock like crazy.
Sending that one out, dedicated to Howard Hessman, Dr. Johnny Fever, who passed away last week and would have appreciated it, I think. So great, great job.
Very fun. Thank you.
Yeah. Love it, Son of Crow. Always good. Always good. That his, you know, that first song you did in 19, that really did become like the anthem for that team. We were all singing it all the way into the Final Four. It was so great.
There you go. Yeah. So, and now it's time for the warning, Van.
John's having a sorority party over his house, by the way, just in case you're wondering. So it's time to talk about Auburn football, which means we have to, in case you get triggered easily.
Jump gate activated.
It's a trap!
You have failed me for the
That's not the
time.
One. No. That's not... No, I've messed it all up now.
You have.
There, here.
You are out of order! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
That's what I was looking for, because we're not doing the trial of any coaches, but it has been a trial.
It has been a trial. And hey, at least now Brian Harsin will be around long enough that we could do the trial of Brian Harsin in the future.
There was a very real possibility he might not even make it to trial. He might have been kneecapped in the parking lot before he even got into the courthouse.
Summarily executed before that. So.
Man, no doubt. So, all right, in the time since we last spoke, a couple of things have happened. The investigation wrapped up, and we're keeping him. All the signs seemed to point to goodbye last week. And then the first thing I saw was Cole Kubelik tweeted that he was hearing that they were probably going to keep him. And sure enough, Cole knows what he's talking about. So
and he's staying.
He's staying.
So what? 10 words or less, what was your immediate reaction when you saw Cole's tweet?
Auburn administrators don't want to spend money.
I don't think it was that. I think it was they didn't find anything to fire for cause.
Right.
And they weren't ever going to – there wasn't ever an intention on their part to fire him without cause, right?
Okay.
I'm talking about the administration.
Right.
I think there were people that were trying to push Auburn and Brian Harsin in that direction.
Sure.
But
– well, all right. Here's my burning hot take that I want to get out about this for sure, and that's simply this, that gather my thoughts. Because this is a very sensitive topic, and I don't want to – aggravate people on either side. Let me put it this way. I understand both sides in this, right? The people that are defending him, 100% I get it. He was treated abominably by some people, by some parts of the press, though not all, by some Auburn people, though not all. And I understand wanting to rally behind your coach. I rallied behind Terry Bowden. I rallied behind Tuberville, right? I mean, Gus, not so much. And, after a while, you know, it was time to kind of move along. But I felt like the thing that bothers me is that people are saying the whole thing was a sham. The whole thing was a sham. I feel like if you had to operate on what our administration had to operate on at the beginning of this mess, you'd have investigated it too, right? I mean, the fact that it ends up that it was nothing, you know, really, other than just he didn't get along with some people and he was kind of a jerk and whatever, that's fine. But when that many coaches leave, that many players leave, recruits don't want to come in, and all the other things that are happening, you got to look into it and at least see what's going on. So, you know, I feel like there are people saying they never should have looked into it. It never should have been anything. And I'm like, something needed to be done.
No. Oh, I'm gonna stop you there. 100% those people are wrong, okay? When there's a mass exodus of people, it's the administration's responsibility to look into it. Now, again, there's a difference between that and doing that quietly, gathering the facts,
right,
and saying, okay, here's the deal, move on, and announcing it at a Board of Trustees meeting to the frenzied media, right? So I think that they didn't have to do that, and they did. So, but it does matter. But that part was 100% real. That we talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Out of everything in this, that investigation was real. And what happened at the end was that investigation cleared Harsin in the sense that there was nothing that could fire for cause for, and there was nothing, you know, that crossed that line. And right. So that was, there was, a, but the investigation itself was real and was required, I would say. So, but here's what I would say is that was a narrow piece, and there was a whole bunch of noise outside of that narrow piece.
Yes.
That I believe was some boosters attempting to get Harsin to leave and Auburn to pay him to leave, right? They wanted to make it so Harsin was like, I don't want to be here, put up with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted Auburn to be like, oh, let's get, there's a bunch of noise, let's get rid of this guy and move on, move forward. And I do think those people are out there and they did that. So to me, it's part of the story, but it wasn't part of what was real. It was noise in the background of people trying to get their way and influence things. But the thing that I, you know, feel is that there was a bunch of boosters that who wanted that to happen, but they weren't prepared to put up the $18 million and just fire them. They tried to do it on the cheap.
Exactly.
And those boosters who tried to do it on the cheap and threw all this dirt on Harsin wounded the Auburn program. It caused damage to it. It put us in a worse position than we were a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, which wasn't great to begin with, and now it's even worse. Yeah, and I keep saying there, you know, now we're like definitely going to have a hard time recruiting and getting back up to speed with the rest of the SEC West and SEC in general. And it's not going to just be Harsin's fault for his, you know, recruiting issues. It's going to be more than just that. But I do want to point out, though, that it's not just the other stuff, because you know that when fall rolls around, and if we do not have a season to everyone's satisfaction, there are going to be people saying, well, he would have gone undefeated if not for all that mess back in February. The problems were there before. This just made it worse, but there were already problems.
Absolutely. And there were real problems. And that wasn't hype or rumor or storytelling. The recruiting stuff is real.
Yes.
It's a real problem. And the keeping good players is real. It's a real problem. You're not just recruiting high school players. You have to re-recruit your roster, basically, and make them feel valued and part of the team, and they know what their role is, that they, you value them as a player, not just the high school kids you're recruiting. And I think that's something they have to get better on. So I think it matters, that piece. And the reality is Auburn has to do better recruiting at talent acquisition, because we're not, as you said, we're not going to get a bunch of five stars through the transfer portal. We can get some role players and some guys who can contribute around the edges of the roster, but you can't build the core of your team that way.
Yeah. No, you can't. And as an addendum, I also want to note that when Auburn's official announcement, it was like they did two, it seems like, and in both of them they ended up with like, and it's all because of you meddling social media people. And I'm just thinking, what world do you think you're living in now? How is this a surprise? Do they honestly think that something like this can go on and we're not going to tweet about it, and there's not going to be reporters running around talking about it, and it's not going to become a big media firestorm? What world is that? Because everything becomes that now. You can't do anything without it becoming a giant social media firestorm. And they're like the French police captain coming out of Rick's casino, shocked that there's gambling going on while he counts his money. It's
Well, but I think it's different than that. Even my view is like, you can set the menu or you're on the menu. Okay. And in this case, Harsin and the senior people on the football side have no interest in doing that. He needs to proactively engage to tell our story. Yeah. What is the vision? What are you building? Get some players interviews in there too, mm-hmm. about where it's going and what you're trying to do. He doesn't care about that. Therefore, there's a void of information, yes. and it gets filled in with the other narrative. So you have a choice. You can push your story out there and let people hear that and move it along, or you cannot. And so he has purposefully, intentionally not engaged with the Auburn media, and in fact, on the other way, told the Auburn media to kind of kiss off. And that's why when you saw his story, side of the story coming out, he was talking with Pete Thamel of ESPN.
Yeah, and that didn't go over well either. He probably doesn't know about the history we have with that moron. If you haven't seen it, Brandon Marcello, old friend of the show, Brandon Marcello, who's now a national football writer, he posted a video today where he talks for about 15, 20 minutes on, I thought it was really, really interesting. He talks about how Auburn just has this sort of congenital condition of these kind of things happening over and over. And he talks about his experience over 7 years on the Auburn beat trying to chase these things down. It was really quite startling to hear him talk about he said he spent like 6 months. I don't want to give it all away. You can go listen to it. But he said he spent like 6 months chasing down a story, having to meet people in secret at truck stops on the Alabama-Georgia line and stuff. And at the end of the 6 months, he had no story. And that would make me just pull my hair out. He couldn't, because he's more bald than I am. But my gosh, I mean, and he talks about how, you know, it's just interesting to hear like where the stuff comes from that gets into the whole public conversation, where it comes, you know, where it originates, and what's the agenda and all that. So it's worth giving him a few minutes to listen to that, I thought. But
absolutely, it was very well done. I liked it a lot.
And so. it gave him physical problems. He had like he had to go to the doctor a bunch of times and take off of work because it just stressed him out so bad. And I totally believe it, 100%. So Well, so what does all this mean going forward? I mean, we already knew that Auburn has a terrible track record of dealing with this kind of thing, and we already knew that if Harsin stayed, it was just going to be even more challenging. But if he left, it'd be challenging then too. I mean, there was no 100% good solution to all this, and so we did the right thing, I'm sure. But it just, you know, we'll see going forward. But what do you mean? What does it mean?
I think it, again, as you said, his job got harder. Right, his job was hard already. He's an SEC West football coach, and you know, he was having challenges in recruiting and stuff already, and the job got harder. But I think he understands more after a year what he has to do to be successful. And I think we're going to give him, you know, 3 years at least. And I think he deserves that. And then we're going to go out there and see what he could do. So the answer is not complicated. It's win football games, right? We were very close in a lot of games last year. Mm-hmm. They could figure out some things and, you know, make some things happen so that we, you know, we win a couple of those games we lost at the end last year. Then all this goes away and nobody cares about this kind of stuff. That is what it's about. So he's got to figure out what he can do to get players in who can help him do that, because then that'll build on itself. The other thing is, you know, in terms of recruiting, the current class of juniors in Alabama, or the, you know, the kids that are going to be seniors next year, is the best recruiting class in state in a long time. Mm-hmm. So Auburn has to make inroads with those kids and be in a position where we can get some of those good in-state players a year from now. That's huge. That is a big thing too. So I think it's those things. And I think, one, they're related. If we win some games this fall and there's some positive energy about the program, I think it'll help a lot. It'll make, if there's, you know, kids, the recruits are in the stadium and we're winning games and everybody's into it, I think that'll help. So, but it is hard. His job got harder. It got more challenging. So there's no other way to say that. But it's also like, I think this part of it, you know, it's put to bed and we got to move forward and focus on the football side.
Well, what are we going to do about our offensive coordinator situation, among others?
Well, yeah, we have two coaching vacancies right now. Offensive coordinator and then the linebackers coach, Bert Watts, left in the last 24 hours or so for an NFL job with the Denver Broncos. So Harsin has two hires to make. Again, the offensive coordinator is big, right? It matters. And so I think he's got to, you know, step back into that now, kind of going forward to the next week or so, and find somebody that he likes. I think it may be a thing of where, you know, maybe they hire just a QB coach, and then he has the Kisau be offensive coordinator and he calls the plays and does a lot of the offensive coordination. That could be an answer if he can't find somebody that he likes and that he can work with. I think that's a real possibility.
Well, my first requirement is that they're not big on throwing the fade on like fourth and one or whatever.
Well,
that's not in their playbook.
When Tank in the running game is humming, they have to want to hand the ball off. That's what I want.
So. Yeah, especially if we don't have any receivers.
Put them in positions to be successful.
So. I mean, I'm not sure what we're going to have at receiver this fall. I know that we've got plenty of we talked about this last week, right? We got plenty of scholarships to hand out for anybody that might want any. So if you have a relative or somebody that wants to play offensive line or wide receiver at Auburn University, there's a good shot that they could get on the field this fall, full scholarship.
So it's fair. It's true. I'd love to have somebody who could develop a quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we have some raw materials at quarterback, but we need somebody that could help them get better. And so to me, that's what I want out of this offensive coaching hire.
Yeah. You want an NFL guy or a college guy? Does that matter to you?
I don't care as long as they have experience to make, you know, developing quarterbacks and making them better. That's what I want to see.
Thing that worries me is that Alabama's already good. A&M's getting better. Ole Miss is getting way better. LSU really had nowhere to go but up for their standards where they were. Arkansas is getting better. You know, Mississippi State is a weird matchup, so they don't have to get better. They just have to catch you in the right way like they did this year. I mean, we've got a real challenge to stay out of the basement in the West going forward, and that's difficult. It's just not fun.
It is. Again, the West isn't going to get easier overnight, and Georgia's on our schedule, and we know how good they are. So, no, there's – I mean, again, that's what the deal is. The road is going to be really, really, really tough. I mean, the thing I would say is I genuinely think we're going to be good on defense again. I think we have a lot of good defensive starters back, and I think we're going to be fine on defense. We got to be able to score some points. We got Tank and some offensive linemen. We got to surround them with some other players that can, you know, make them successful. But I think defensively, I think we're going to be fine.
I'll close with this as far as that goes. Harsin, we better hope that the folks that have all this confidence in him are right. I want them to be right, but we got to hope that they're right, because otherwise we got a ways to go to dig our way back out of all this. It's not been good. So I hope they're right. Well, we got to guess the game coming up. We got some listener questions, I'm sure. But first, of course, we have to thank the patrons, the folks that keep our show going. And remember, we don't do commercials. We just have our patrons that make things possible. So, you know, this is about the time every year that we start losing patrons because football season is over and then things get weird in the off season every year. So come join up, get us through basketball season. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about where this awesome basketball team is going to go, hopefully deep into the tournaments, into both tournaments. And we need you to support us and help us cover it. So go to www.auwishbone.com. Oh, one other quick thing. I and the On Her Majesty's Secret podcast crew, our James Bond sister show, will be in Los Angeles at the end of March to do a live broadcast from the Peterson Automotive Museum in Los Angeles, Bond in Motion exhibit. They're going to have a bunch of James Bond, you know, there were things that kind of were keeping us here, but we had to explain.
But James, I need you.
So does England.
Yeah, and so does the Automotive Museum. So we're going to go out there and broadcast our show from in the midst of James Bond actual vehicles from the movies. So that should be really cool. I'm going to do it, John, kind of the way that you and I did our Texas trip. We're going to have videos occasionally going up on Twitter and on YouTube, and we'll record a show there. So we'll be out there in just a couple of weeks. Should be cool. All right, so www.auwishbone.com. Here are some of the fine folks who are, my computer is doing weird things, sorry, who are currently keeping our program going. We have to thank Samuel Salvatore, Carl Von Drunker, Dr. Crackham, Patrick Hayes, and Bradley Blackman, and I left off Chris and Clinton Stewart, of course. Can't leave off Chris and Clinton. I have them in kind of a funny order here. I have to kind of always remember. And then Bradley Blackman. And then Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC, Logan Chilton, Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, alum of the most bipolar university in America. No doubt about that. Remember, folks, one of the perks of being on here is you get to put whatever you want into the name space, so I'll read it, as long as it doesn't get us thrown off the air. Ann Kangian, hey, you falling up. Ben Bloodworth, Brian's not harsing around. Again, I really hope not. Chris Hilton, who bids you a hearty war eagle. Thank you, Chris. He's no longer the Hilton because it kind of like people around him got all messed up and messed him up. So he's back to being good old Chris Hilton. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, Daniel Odom, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, George Gaston. Is there a level of dysfunction above Jabba asking for a friend? Rusty Kilby. Oh, Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Old Mrs. Miracle Medical Staff, Algorithm, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Preston Settle, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Sarah Brown, Steve Harlan, Theodore Gary. This is the year Van Allen Plexico has improved so much in his podcasting, he will finally get his insulation installed. Thanks, Bob. War Eagle always. And also WDE Richie, Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard, Winston Body, Auburn Blue, Blake Heron, Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Calipari will now ask Saban how to change the rules. It's about safety. Carter Glaus, Cato, the new offensive coordinator. Works for me. Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darius Benton, David Simpson, Diabama, Eric Mahan, helping Van upgrade his insulation. Oh, lots of people worried about my insulation. I like it. Houston Tiger, Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kinoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, listen to hellbentatl.com and
smoke weed every day.
We get it in at least once every episode thanks to good old hellbentatl.com. Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Patrick Williams, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, this is the year Jinx O'Jordan has improved so much on this new offense, he's focused, he's having fun. Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87, Alex Nguyen, alum of a basketball school. Well, maybe so right now. Auburn Elvis, Ben Amos, Ben Hanshew, Ben Riggis, Brian Albanese, C. Braun, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, Daniel Barnett, David Smiley, Elizabeth Donald.
We got to get better at celebrating.
Here's to the best Auburn podcast, War Eagle. Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that. I tried to change my display name, but Walker Kessler blocked it. Yes, that's.
Please clap.
That is all a good right, one. Yes, that's a good one. I'll buy this for a dollar. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Albrick. He will be on our trip to L.A. Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Schinker, Jingleheimer Schmidt, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains, a.k.a. Auburn Dad for Life, Mark Squire, MVP Captivating Kathy Bright, I believe will also be coming along, Paul Bankson, Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth, and Darren Sutherland, Spanky!
You sit at my table.
I love that they incorporate the sound effects into their names now. Stephen Thompson, Trevor Johnson, Brent Rumble, Chris, and our one-time and anonymous donors. We thank you all. Go to www.auwishbone.com. And now...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
Oh, we had to guess the game.
It's
we'll get to
time
it.
Time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
Jared's pulling his freaking hair out right now.
Man with the itchy trigger finger. All right, you want to do just guess the game first?
Let's
and
do
then we'll come
the
back
game.
To listener questions?
Yes, let's do it. I'm just giving Jared a heart attack by accident. Sorry, Jared. I didn't mean to do that. I forgot. All right. Let's see. Here we go.
Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. It is Jinxie, Jared, the yard sale artist, here with Guess the Game number 42, which is brought to you by our friend Brett Wiggins. Let's get in there and give it a listen.
Auburn trying to go after it. Here's the snap. They got it. Block kick. Balls back to the 25. Picked up on the bounce at the 25-yard line. And in for a touchdown is...
Mm-hmm. I really had to chop that one down to even kind of make it a challenge, but I'll see you guys in the hidden file.
It's not a challenge at all. Nice try, but...
Is that the Punt Bamba Punt game?
That is not only Punt Bamba Punt, it's the first. It's the first punt. Because the second one is, it is blocked! It is blocked! It is alive for the score! David Langner! Right? The first one they're kind of chilled about.
The second one is the one I've heard more often because it's the David Langner part.
Loses his poop. The first one, he's just kind of like, oh, they block it. That's cool. The second one is like, oh! It was nice in theory. But there's just no way that one's going to get. Let's go ahead
all
and
right,
get the.
But let's go. We go to the hit file. Let's tell. Let's. What year was it? 72.
Yeah, the Amazons. Here we go.
All right, guys. Let's get rid of those bleeps and give it a listen.
Auburn trying to go after it. Here's the snap. They got it. Block kick. Balls back to the 25. Picked up on the bounce at the 25-yard line, and in for a touchdown is David Langner.
All right, gentlemen, if you don't know it by now, then we're shutting down the podcast. I will see you in the answer file.
That is fair. That is fair, Jared.
Very fair, Jared.
1972 Iron Bowl, David Langner. And who was it? Bill Newton blocked it, and David Langner ran it in, I believe. I believe so. And so here is the final piece.
All right, John Van, of course, you probably came to the conclusion that this is Auburn versus Alabama in 1972 in the Punt Bama Punt game. And I had to shrink that audio down as much as I could to make it a challenge for you, but I'm betting you still got it. So thanks to Brett Wiggins for sending that one in. It is kind of fun to take a famous one and make it real, real short and see what we can do with that. Might be more of those in the future. Anyway, if you have a suggestion for Guess the Game, you can send them directly to me on social media at Yard Sale Artist on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's all at Yard Sale Artists, or you can email me directly at Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. Until next time, man, John War Airwolf.
The people outside of Twitter have any idea why he does the whole Airwolf thing? What that is?
No.
Okay. Jared, whenever Jared actually watches Auburn, we lose. And so like last year, a couple of years ago, whenever it was, a couple of years ago now, he started watching
basketball specifically.
Yeah, basketball. He started watching like other stuff, and he discovered that when he watches Airwolf, Auburn does really well. So his thing now is when Auburn's about to play a basketball game, he just puts on an episode of Airwolf and tweets about Airwolf, and it's awesome. Yeah. So that was Airwolf.
And we appreciate his sacrifice.
Yeah, he misses out on all this, you know, and there's been times that he's like, you know, peeked over, and then we start doing bad. And so he's like, ah, and he has to go back and turn on Airwolf again. So it's amazing the power that he has. It's really remarkable. All right, we did the intro, so you want to hit the questions?
All right, well, it's go time for listener questions.
All right.
The first question is from Cato the Barger, and this is a good one. The subject line is, I'm officially off the train, time to say the fire word. He says, I'm going to be honest. I was actually really excited for this hire. The coach with a fantastic winning percentage at a small school had me pumped up thinking about what he could do for our program. But I reached the point where I just can't take it anymore. We have to admit what we have. We have a coach who feasts on smaller, no-name schools to boost his record and then gets an SEC play and loses the games that matter the most. Watching our anemic offense cost us game after game is beyond disheartening. But losing to South Carolina, one of the worst teams in the SEC last year, was the nail in the coffin for me. Topping it off by losing to some random G5 team after the regular season is over is just plain embarrassing for a program like Auburn. I'd never thought I'd get there this fast, but the fire word just needs to be said. I assume we all know that I'm talking about Auburn softball coach Mickey Dean and how replacing him needed to be done yesterday. Don't let the dysfunction around Auburn football distract you from the fact that Auburn softball is on straight skid row now. Just some reminders. We've lost 12 of our last 14. Those 12 losses include the time we didn't even make it one round of the SEC tournament because we lost a dead last South Carolina in the play-in game and the two losses we suffered to get bounced from regional where we didn't even play the host team. Our win percentage, both in overall and in conference, decreased every year he's been here. Auburn softball, a team that was in the College World Series 2 years before Dean arrived, was shut out last year by 13-25 Chattanooga. Question for you guys, since I can't decide which is worse, the fact that we got swept in all three of the Bama, Tennessee, and Arkansas series, or the fact that we put up a total of 8 runs in those 9 games? Thanks, Cato, the AU Wishbone softball correspondent. P.S., I bet y'all were hoping I forgot about softball season.
You know, I'm glad he brought it up, though, because when they were doing really well, they commanded a lot of our attention as Auburn people across the board, and they kind of dropped off the earth, and it was that big scandal, right? We had a coach that was fantastic, and then it just turned into this disaster, this nightmare, and then they've just kind of fallen off the earth. So
it sounds like we need a new coach. We're more of a gymnastics school now.
Yeah, but gosh. We used to be a swimming and diving. Then we were softball. Now we're gymnastics. So,
Next question's from listener Doc Crackham, who says, I'm sitting here after the Georgia basketball game reading observations by Justin Ferguson, and Wendell Green and Katie Johnson are quoted as having tired legs. Throughout this, national and local experts alike talk about how deep Auburn is. How is it that we seemingly can't cover one down player for one game? Isn't it as if we've had several players down and everyone playing long minutes? How do we expect to get through the SEC tournament, let alone March Madness, to shock the world? Cue the soundboard.
And March Madness, let's shock the world.
If our guards can't rotate with one guy down, thanks as always, War Dam.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Well, I mean, we are deep, but I mean, you know, Jared didn't have a lot of – I mean, I guess he had McCormick, who was pretty good as a backup.
But also, I think in that game, again, Katie Johnson got hurt in that game. You're talking about the Georgia game.
Mm.
And Zepp was out, and I think it mattered. So I think, you know, really asking Wendell to do a lot in that, And again, Wheeler Berman was out. He sometimes subs in a shooting guard and comes in and makes some shots. So I think it really was kind of a bad situation. And it's fair. I think we have more depth in the front court than we do in the back court.
Yeah.
We had a couple more guards coming in next year, but it's a fair question.
Well, it's also good to remember that we were supposed to have the Missouri guy, right? And it didn't work out. So we would have had another guard. This team would have been even deeper.
It's true. But then maybe somebody wouldn't be playing. So it's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Our next question is from friend of the podcast, Jared Albrecht, who says,
yes, I've heard of him.
Question or maybe talking point for this week. Please allow me to preface this by saying that I've been a leadership trainer for 20 plus years and I've coached senior level business leaders to some serving careers. So I'm trying to provide some professional insight, not the usual Jared being goofy thing. As I type this on Thursday, the 10th of February, the prevailing Harsin theory is that he's a jerk or an a-hole. He doesn't have people skills, so they're looking for a reason to run him off. Well, do you know who else is a jerk or an a-hole with bad people skills? Nick Saban, Steve Spurrier, Marvin Wood, who was made famous by Gene Hackman in the movie Hoosiers, and going outside of sports, General Patton. So what's the difference? Why are the people I just mentioned legends but with similar character flaws to Harsin? My answer is control. They were granted full control over their domain, and they produced amazing victories with little to no interference. Now, I'm not saying I want the same joyless vibe I see from Saban, but I can't argue with his success. So I'm in the camp of give Harsin control, at least for the next 3 years. Let me know what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the way things are right now, I'm willing to do whatever. I mean, keeping him in the system he's in right now does not seem like the answer. So if you're not going to go the route of just replace him, then give him every possible opportunity and get out of the way and let's just see what happens. Sure.
That's right, because otherwise, you're hurting the team and you're not allowing us to have the maximum chance of success. So
right.
I'd like it. All right. Next question comes from listener Trey Jackson, who says, being an Auburn fan is like being a fan of DC movies for the past few years. So he says, stay with me now. The best DC movies in the past have been those where the creative team had a lot of, this is a similar theme to Jared's, a lot of control over their finals product. Nolan's Batman, Donner's Superman. You can usually get a really good movie with a lot of involvement from the business, non-creative side. Just look at Marvel movies for the past decade. You also know you could get all-time great movies by giving control to the right creative team, but can also go spectacularly wrong when you put someone like Zack Snyder in charge. I actually think Auburn is in a similar situation that Warner Brothers was in during the run of Zack Snyder's DC movies, as in we pick the wrong guy, which is the correct diagnosis of the problem, and we non-football coaches, non-movie directors are going to have to swoop in to fix a problem we created. Good on them for recognizing the problem, but if you could run a football program, you'd probably be a coach instead of a booster, and if you could direct movies, you'd probably be a director instead of an executive. The right thing to do would be part ways amicably with the person you know is wrong for the job and focus on getting that position right, but no, we'd rather pretend we can compete with all-time great rivals on a budget. As Stephen Godfrey said it best, Auburn is a Florida that thinks it's a Mississippi, acts like an Arkansas, and is in danger of becoming a Tennessee.
Wow. Run that through me again, or by me again.
This is a quote from Stephen Godfrey. He said this a couple times. He says, Auburn is a Florida that thinks it's a Mississippi, acts like an Arkansas, and is in danger of becoming a Tennessee.
I guess I get the first one and the last one. I'm not sure what thinking it's a Mississippi and acting like Arkansas really means, but I'll take it for whatever it's worth.
All right. Our next question is from Rusty Owens, who says, when you write the inevitable follow-up to We Believed, what is the title of the chapter about last week?
Oh, God. The chapter we didn't want to have to write and don't want to write. I'm increasingly leaning toward that book ending with Gus leaving. I don't know how far into Harsin we want to go. It's another reason to get the dang thing written and out sooner rather than later, so we have less of this to have to deal with, honestly.
I think we're going to call that chapter Harsin Watch.
Yeah, man.
But we'll see.
Man.
All right. The story's not finished there. So
yeah.
The next listener question is from Preston Suttle, and the title is Brandishing a Firearm. He says, John Van, why do we have to wave the gun around at Auburn? This reflects poorly on Auburn University. Guns make people nervous. Not only have we embarrassed ourselves in front of the entire country, Coach Harsin may enter next season gun shy. Any potential future head coaches are going to avoid Auburn. Who would want to coach a football program where people are constantly waving around guns? I'm glad we did not have a negligent discharge in this week's gun-waving episode.
We're the Compton of college football programs.
I like it. The media states Auburn decided to keep Harsin. Who is Auburn? Who has the gun? Is it the president?
That's
the
a very ADs, good question.
Our boosters or board of trustees? They have all been acting like cowboys this week, and I have a hard time figuring out who's in charge and who's making decisions. Explain who is Auburn and who has the gun.
Yeah.
I want to be clear. In this case, Dr. Googe made it clear it was his call and his decision. The investigation went to him for him to review and make a decision on. He made the call. So in that case, that's what happened. I think I've kind of described my view of the booster's role in this.
I think that confusion is part of the problem of why we have these problems, because of the lack of alignment, as they say. Yeah. And it's also frustrating for the fans because they don't know who to be mad at. So they kind of point the fingers and at their guns at the wrong people, too.
It has been pointed out by several people online, and I kind of agree with this point. I would enjoy an investigative journalist to go, here's the cast of characters. You know, here's who, when we say the boosters or whatever, let's name some names. Let's point at some people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the university's not going to do that because they want to get more money out of those people. But I think it matters. All right. Our next question is from Samuel Salvatore.
Yes.
Who says, do you believe that Walker Kessler could play offensive line since he knows how to block?
He does know how to block. Ain't no doubt about that. Yes. I like it.
It's fair. I think he'd be great at, you know, trying to block field goals. That would be fun.
Oh, God. Good.
Our next question's from Logan Chilton, whose the title is May I Opine? He says, I've stayed quiet regarding all the situation, mostly because I don't or didn't follow most of the facts, but I have a few thoughts and a question.
That's never stopped the rest of these people, but go right ahead.
I appreciate his restraint. Yes. He says, I wasn't really in favor of firing Gus because while I got as frustrated as any of them with some of the dumb stuff he tried, he displayed the ability to catch lightning in a bottle several times. He ran a clean program, and he seemed focused on what, for me, is the most important thing, helping young men grow up and better themselves, give them an opportunity to continue to compete.
Yeah.
John said something that resonated with me when we did let Gus go. If we're firing him, then we did not worry about cost and go get the absolute best money can buy and make the absolute goal to win championships at any cost. Firing Gus and then trying to save on the next coach doesn't and didn't make sense. I see a lot of issues that indicate Harsin may not be the guy long term, but the university doesn't appear to be doing him any favors. I don't know what the answer is with Harsin, but I do think I know the question. What are we trying to accomplish as a football program? Do we want to compete for championships, or is it something else? Is that something else, basketball championships? Thanks, and War Eagle.
Oh, by the way, I heard a horror story the other day. Maybe it was today. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, somebody said, if you really want to frighten an Auburn fan, suggest to them that the booster crowd from all of this start paying attention to basketball. That's the last thing we want.
Amen to that.
And that's when I've said before that I worry that they're going to start saying all this success we're having in basketball right now is Auburn success and not Bruce Pearl success. Because while it is Bruce Pearl giving Auburn success, hear me now and remember me later, it is Bruce Pearl success, okay, period. I hope I didn't trample on his question. I mean,
no, that's why we signed Bruce Pearl that big contract.
Yes.
That's why we got that done, because it is the people, we know what the deal is.
Yes.
We've watched enough Auburn basketball in our lifetime.
Oh, gosh. You know, John, it's almost like somebody needs to tell that story.
You're a crazy person.
Nobody would do that. Nobody is dumb enough to sit down and research 50 years of Auburn basketball, nobody is that stupid. There's so many better things they could do with their time than research 50 years of Auburn basketball. Nobody crazy would do that. That'd be crazy.
All right, we're going to go back to Logan's question. And this is the question. What are we trying to accomplish as a football program? Do we want to compete for championships, or is it something else?
Well, what else is it?
Well, I mean, I think for some of the people involved, everybody thinks they want to compete for championships, but some people want to compete for championships as long as they have some control over it. They don't want to compete for championships right. If they don't have control over it.
Right.
So I think it's some of that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, last question from Ryan Brown. After all the nonsense that happened last week and the resulting wave of support Harsinger received since it was announced he was being retained, are we any less likely to fire Harsin if he wins less than 7-8 games next season?
Yeah, I've been struggling with that one myself. I'm not sure whether this – I know this makes it harder for him, and I know this all makes it less likely for us to do well this fall than we even already were going to do. But I'm 50-50 on whether this actually makes it more likely that he's toast after a bad season, if it should go that way, or that he's kind of bought himself a couple of years. I don't know.
I think it's going to have to be 2012 bad to fire him this year.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got a built-in excuse.
If it's not too, it's not just that. I think it's they want to give him time at this point. And you now, I'm saying that. There's going to be, regardless, if we don't win the national title, there's going to be stories in the media about, you know, Harsin on the hot seat. You're going to see the national writers who do the hot seat columns, Harsin's name is going to be at every one of them.
All the 100%. Time.
It doesn't matter what the record is.
It is.
So that piece matters, but I would say unless it's 2012 bad, he's going to be the coach next season and the season after that.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I do. So. All right. One last little tidbit of information I forgot to mention earlier, just for any that are interested. Not only will we be in the Bond crew be in L.A. at the end of February at the Peterson Museum, but I will be a guest of Mid-South Con 38 in Memphis, Tennessee, March 25, 26, 27. So if you are in the Memphis area and you like the sci-fi and the fantasy and the comics and the stuff, I'm going 6 or 7 panels and I'll have some of my books and everything. And it'll be the usual show. So come on by and we'll have a good time.
Enjoy.
All right. So does that pretty much cover it for tonight?
It does.
All right. Well, we made it through another inquest, another autopsy of Auburn's boosters and Coach Harsin, and we hopefully can put that to rest for a little while now. I would really rather not revisit it anymore if we don't have to, unless something changes.
Amen.
Amen to that. All right. Well, all right. I guess that'll do it. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, Ben.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @auwishbone and at facebook.com/auwishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.